June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're off air. I gave Alec a different kind of question of the day. But our question for y'all here, what's the hardest sport to ref? And then we're going to get around to the NBA Finals and the French Open. But I put together a list. I know people always debate this, and we've already got some answers from the 972 MLB. Having to locate a strike when a ball is coming at 90 plus miles per hour looks almost impossible. From the 214, hardest sport to ref is baseball. And from the 315, baseball is the hardest sport to umpire. Man, I do not agree with that at all. And basketball is a close second. So my list is going to reflect very differently. Do you want to have a conversation more? Can I give you my list that you guys
can
bomb?
Yeah, give me your list, man. I want to see if I agree with it or if I hate it.
Number one sport to ref.
Just remember, I like you.
But you might hate the list.
Right.
Gotcha. Is hockey. All right.
Because, that's the hardest?
Yeah, that's right. Because in all of these other sports, you either get to stand there or you run along with them.
But you're just gliding on skates.
Yeah. Well, you have to be a good skater and you have to stay out of the way.
Are you at ice? No, you don't. How many times did you see the puck hit the referee's skate during the Star Series that screwed them over?
But you're probably supposed to stay out of the way. So I say hockey one, then football, then basketball, MMA and boxing is fourth, soccer is fifth, because, man, you got to run a lot. For baseball, I think that's the easiest one, and I'll tell you why. Because if you're at the bases or watching the line, you don't get put into play that often. And when you do, just look. Like, you can figure it out.
I think it's very difficult to stay that focused for that long. And whenever...
So you think they drift away and they start thinking about other things?
There are so many times when the catcher will point down to first base or third base, and I'm like, he's guessing right now. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
And they're like... You know, that's the safe signal, but also means he didn't swing. That's always been weird to me. But yeah, that's where I stand on that. I think baseball is very difficult, but I'm with you, man. I think hockey is right up there because of the physicality that goes into it, too. You got to be able to go beat somebody up. Nobody knows what icing is anyway, so you're just guessing most of the time. And then, was he offsides? Should we wave it? How do you get to decide when to wave it? Like, you just get to decide? So that's always a little subjective or objective or
whatever. No, subjective. And then the home plate umpire, like, I get it. I'm not saying that part is necessarily
that's
easy.
Tough. That's a tough day.
But that's your only job.
That is a very tough day, though.
You stand right there.
And get booed.
That's fine.
Like, the whole time.
You should know that it is
both
a thankless
coaches
job.
Hate you.
And look, that's why.
The catcher's only acting like he likes you.
That's why the bit in The Naked Gun is so funny where...
Leslie Nielsen?
Leslie Nielsen, because I was going to say Liam Neeson, and I was like, nope, that's the new one.
That'd be awesome.
Leslie Nielsen realizes that he just wants the crowd to cheer for him, so he just calls strikes every time against the opposing team, and he loves it.
If you haven't seen that, if you're younger and haven't seen that,
it's fun.
You have to go watch that. Just that, if nothing else, just that scene, it's hilarious.
And I want to point out, like, I think all of these are difficult, but in my hierarchy, I went hockey, football, basketball, MMA or boxing, soccer, and baseball. I have baseball as the easiest of that group of six to ref, even though I will acknowledge it's probably really difficult. I don't think any of these sports are easy.
From the 469, hardest sport to ref is wrestling, especially in those bloodline matches.
No, it's not. Nobody has any expectations of you in professional wrestling. Like, you can do the worst job ever.
You get knocked out.
Yeah. It's amazing how sometimes when you get elbowed to the face, you're out for 3 seconds. Other times, you're out for legitimately 6 minutes. You're like, what happened? Is he okay?
Golf's the easiest, right?
I just need to make sure you filled out your scorecard right.
And if they call you over for the rules, you have a freaking book with you. Like, you just walk up and you're like, yes, the rule book says this. You don't have to do anything else. It's all in the honor system. And when in pro golf, I mean, there's cameras on all of them, but it's all honor system stuff. So there's nothing there. That's easy.
From the 817, NFL has to watch 22 at once, plus everyone on the sideline to make sure nobody is on the field illegally.
But there's what, eight that have each have specific jobs? So you are sharing that.
Yeah, you have a zone amongst, or whatever.
I think football, when it's the guy that is running with the receivers and the cornerbacks, that's tough. Like, that's a tough day. NBA, though, it's soccer.
You got to run a lot in soccer.
Even if you're one of the linesmen in soccer, like, we know what offsides is there. They hold up the flag and tell you.
I feel pretty confident in the hockey fans.
When do you wave it off?
That's icing, not offsides.
No, they wave off offsides, too.
Well, when I'm in a generous mood.
I
want to get cheered by the home fans.
But in soccer, it's definitely, you're like, you're running all the, even if you're a linesman, you're running at least half the field.
Yeah.
You're running all the time. So, and the guy who's, what's the head ref? That dude's running the whole time.
Yeah.
He never stops. And then he's got to run up to somebody after, he's exhausted, running up, holding a yellow card, and maybe he selects the wrong one. He's like, I got to go with it. It's red today.
I do love the authority that they have to tell you to march back to where you were. Like, and that's how you know you're going to get a card. Somebody knows, they're walking up, they're like, hey, back here so I could show you this piece of colored construction paper. And they're like, card. And you have to walk back over there.
Why do they have to walk over to that spot?
I don't know. Because they're going to give you a yellow card usually. And probably if you don't walk back there, they're like, all right, I'll switch. I'll make it a red card and you'll be sad. What do you guys think is the toughest sport?
It's soccer. That's it. That soccer. One. But the authority is great. I'm with you there. I just think it's the amount of of running that you have to do. And, dude, you're the one guy in the middle of the field. Does anybody tell you, hey, behind your back, he's a roundhouse kicked a guy in the face. You just didn't see it. How else does that happen where just like, what? I don't know what happened, so I can't blame him.
You kind of convinced me, but also I thought about another thing. I don't feel like I ever hear stories about a baseball umpire or a basketball referee getting murdered. We have discussed multiple stories on this show about a soccer referee who got murdered.
Yes!
Because of soccer's now at the top because of the inherent danger that comes in the aftermath of some of these matches. Then hockey, football, basketball, MMA, or boxing and baseball.
Donahue was beholden to the gambling gods. He's still doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, everything's fine with him. So I think basketball is easier than we think.
From the 214, high-level tennis. I know this caught Corey's eye quite a few times during the French Open as the one chair umpire. I always wonder.
Did we find out who she was?
I did not check. I'm sorry. I wonder if chair umpire automatically wants to make the call against the person who make them get out of the chair. They're like, no, man, I'm like just sitting here. Like, let the VAR system or whatever they call it happen.
They got to wear a lot of sunscreen and they have that big umbrella and everything. Yeah. But it is, don't they just have the computer system? Like, doesn't the computer call it off?
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. If you have to get out of your chair, you're probably like, thanks a lot, Switek. I'm going to go against you on this one. All right, Alec. Do you have a ranking system or just the most difficult?
I would say soccer is up there, but I'm leaning towards basketball now, watching the finals, having to ref a game that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing in has to be absolutely brutal. Having to make those judgment calls in real time of, is he inducing contact? Is he actually getting tackled? Is Lou Dort trying to audition for the NFL? You know, like, you have to really process these things in really quick time. But on a serious note, I think that today's NBA has to be extremely difficult. One, because of all the running. Because these athletes, the fast breaks and stuff, having to catch everything in the moment in real time has to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But the way that players are being taught to induce contact and to draw contact in today's game of basketball, you have to be really, really keen on, is he faking? Is he inducing that contact? Is it legal contact? Is he staying vertical? The defender, are they staying vertical when they're going up? Are they getting a forearm in the contact process? Like, catching those things in real time, you have such a very slim margin for error, and thank God for replay assist.
And everybody's arguing with you on the court.
Exactly. And the second you blow a whistle, what is the dude that gets, you know, slammed to the ground doing?
Yeah.
Twirling his finger.
Review it
every single time. And it's like, well, everybody on the court thinks I'm lying now. Like, you are an instant villain, and you have to make some incredible calls at an incredible pace.
Kevin, I have found her.
The chair umpire.
Mariana Veljevic. Mm-hmm. And evidently, in 2020, Boris Becker said, I have to say, the umpire is extremely pretty. You eat with your eyes. The hell does that even mean?
You eat with the eyes first.
You're not eating her. All right. What does that mean? Boris. Is Boris Becker like a, does he a little off sometimes with some of the things that he says?
I mean, he was in jail for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
I think that's for tax issues, though.
But yeah, I have found her. It wasn't actually a very difficult look. It was like, bam, who is the hot? And then it said tennis umpire. Like, that was the first thing that popped
up. Is that
up.
Really what you typed in?
Yeah.
All right. Well, since Corey brought up tennis, I guess this is my opportunity to move over to that. Give me number 8, and we'll talk about Coco Gauff.
Je serai match score de mon chemin. 6-7, 6-2, 6-4, 6-4.
Of course.
She had to say it twice. It was really good. Coco Gauff defeated Arina Sabalenka. Sabalenka is an interesting character. She will talk to herself and her racket quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, and at first it looks like she's kind of trash-talking the opponent, but really she's like, hey, you stupid idiot, why couldn't you get that forehand in bounds and stuff?
Oh, she talks to herself like
yes.
You talk to
yes,
yourself.
Exactly. Gotcha. Coco Gauff, the first American in 10 years to win the Women's French Open title. That is since Serena Williams back in 2015. It was amazing. That first set was awesome. Like, if you have some time and you want to see, watch things you already know the outcome of, go back and watch the first set of Gauff-Sabalenka. It was tremendous. Sabalenka won. I did not think Coco Gauff was going to take the day after that, and yet she did. And on the men's side, even more epic. It was about a 5-hour and 30-minute match. It was the second longest Grand Slam final ever. Carlos Alcaraz was losing to Jannik Sinner 2-0. But then the comeback began. But it was almost thrown off in the fourth set. Sinner was up 5-3 and had a 40-love lead in the point, which means he had not one, not two, but three championship points. At that time, he was a minus 50,000 to win the French Open, which means you would have had to bet $50,000 to win $100. He was that overwhelming of a favorite that Alcaraz fought off all three of those, and I take you to set number 5. Here is Carlos Alcaraz for the win. Those are the scores. Now, Alcaraz is the first man ever to fend off three championship points in the French Open final. Like I said, the match went 5.5 hours. I feel like my answer is probably going to be no. Is there any chance you guys got in at any of the French Open finals this weekend?
During the weekend, Kevin, no, I was just keeping track on whatever you were watching whenever we were here.
Okay.
Because my tennis knowledge is anything I ask you. That's where my tennis... Pete Sampras, remember him?
Remember him
and Andre Agassi played a very long, like, 4-hour match or something one night back in the day, and it was supposed to be the big one. I was in my 20s at that point, and
that was even long.
Yeah, and I haven't really watched a lot of tennis since then. But Alcaraz does interest me. Like, he's one of those players that I've seen him win a couple times. He's very exciting. And
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
He plays a game that I really enjoy watching.
I believe Sinner and Alcaraz have won the last six men's majors.
Really?
And Alcaraz has made it to five finals in his career, and he's 5-0 in those finals. That match was freaking incredible. Maybe probably behind the 08 Wimbledon final with Federer and Nadal, which is probably the best tennis match I've ever seen. But he wins back-to-back French Opens, the youngest player to do so since Rafa Nadal, the king of clay, won four in a row between 2005 and 2008. And honestly, that was the time when I thought he won like 17 French Opens in a row.
What's your favorite to play on?
I like the hard courts because that's what's readily available here in DFW.
We don't just have a bunch of grass courts sitting around.
Look, we probably do at fancier places. I have never come across, just in my regular run of life, grass and clay courts that were available.
Have you ever played on a grass court before?
No.
That would that be like a bucket list thing for
you? That would be super fun. I would rather do that than a clay court.
If you have a flat backyard and you want Kevin to come over and play on it, let us know.
Okay. What do you think about the person who said they looked up the tennis umpire and don't think she's attractive?
I'm wondering if they said he looked it up. That's gross that I looked it up, or if she's not attractive. It's fine. It's fine. Everybody has different. I saw her with the corner of the eye.
I gotcha.
I say go look up the other ones and compare.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the creator of the Savannah Bananas might be a genius. Ooh. Next on The Fan.
Back to Holmgren. Holmgren on the attack right from the start. Layup is good. Beautiful drive. Nine straight points. Holmgren's got nine.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. The Thunder defeat the Indiana Pacers 123-107. To even up the series, and maybe we will talk about this at another point, but the numbers came in for game one of the NBA Finals, 8.91 million viewers, excluding the 2020 and 2021 NBA Finals, and those were impacted by COVID, and we saw just huge ratings drops across the board. That was the least watched game one since 1988.
Did it matter to you?
Not to me, because I am not invested in the network.
Right.
I thought it was an entertaining game nonetheless. But
game two?
I do not have a ESPN ABC share. Game two, I would imagine, will be worse because you got the big lead from OKC, but no semblance of a comeback.
I wonder if that first one, though, did set people up, because that's how I was all night.
I could see that.
All night I was sitting there going, let's just wait till the fourth quarter and see. And it never turned out.
And you might have watched and you might have been like, no.
Oh, well.
Indiana's going to come back. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield. Texas 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day, as well as Twitch and YouTube. Plus, we're going to hear from Jesse Cole, the founder of the Savannah Bananas.
Oh.
He's going to break down one of their unique rules and the science behind it and some of the marketing strategies, which the more I listen to this guy, I think he's an absolute genius.
I mean, clearly they're doing very well.
And he talks a little bit about that. He was on a podcast recently and he broke down the science of their marketing strategies. There's going to be documentaries and 30 for 30s and stuff about this program. And you're going to learn a lot about how truly smart this guy is. But we go to the National Day Calendar, gentlemen. And today, is National Donald Duck Day. Yeah. One of the impressions that has always evaded me that I wish I could do, but I simply cannot. Do not have the ability. Donald Duck, the famous Disney character, is being celebrated today. So I must ask to you two, to the Tolos, the best Disney character of all time is blank. 877-881-1053. Can be animated, could be a live action character. As long as it's Disney, it counts.
I mean, it's very easy to go with Mickey. Mickey Mouse is the beginning.
Look into who drew me.
He's the alpha.
Don't Google him.
He's the omega of Disney, you know?
Yeah. I am going to go with, because they go together, Sully and Boo from Monsters, Inc.
What a great relationship.
That relationship hits me in the feels. Yeah. So I'm going to go with that.
I like the sentimental value behind it.
Yeah.
It's tough to say one of the princesses.
Why is that?
Just kind of is tough because they're all like consistently good in their movies.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying because they were young or whatever.
But Genie's awesome.
Oh, man. That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah. And Robin Williams, that was the entire array of like what he's capable of.
And I'm not saying that like he was the first famous person to do like voiceover or anything like that. But man, I really feel like that set the groundwork for now. If you come up with an animated movie and it just has neat voice actors, people are like, who?
Yeah.
But it needs to have Anna Kendrick and Chris Pratt in it or whatever, where that used to not be the case whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'll go with Genie though.
That's a great answer.
Mickey Mouse is too easy. Genie is the greatest Disney character for me all time.
Some good ones coming in already, and those two that you guys gave are awesome. Simba and Goofy are the two best from the 214.
Gorsh.
Stitch is great.
Admit you thought that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. And there's a video I'm going to send you during the break that can't be aired. That's a Goofy video.
Yeah, no, let's not.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what this is then?
Do you?
I think I do.
Is it the court scene?
No.
Okay. Then I'm sending it to you too.
Okay.
So be ready for that. From the 817, Buzz Lightyear. That's a great one. Toy Story will always have a special place in my heart.
Okay. And I know they became friends and stuff, but it felt like at the beginning you had to be team Buzz Lightyear or team Tom Woody. Hanks Woody.
Yeah. It was just like team Edward and team Jacob, you know.
I still haven't seen those.
You gotta pick a side.
Are those movies good?
No, they're not. But like I've said it a million times and I will die on this hill. The only reason you will catch me watching these movies is because the soundtracks are amazing. Twilight.
They have fantastic soundtrack.
They are actually awesome. The way that they molded scenes around certain songs, it was just amazing. Like, incredible production on that end. The acting and the storytelling, not so great.
Darkwing Duck. Why'd you forget about Darkwing Duck?
That's a really good one.
Get dangerous.
And Scrooge McDuck's money silo. You always wanted a money silo.
Yeah. He's... Who doesn't? I mean, I admire his financial abilities, but here's what I don't
get. What do you make his money in, by the way? Do we know?
Spats. Huh. Like when those things he was always wearing on his, like by his feet and his legs. You know what I'm talking about.
I gotta go find out how Scrooge McDuck made his money.
Here's the financial decision that Scrooge McDuck made that I always question. Oh. He continued to hire Launchpad McQuack, who was like the worst pilot and crashed his planes. I get it. On the front half, you're saving money on what you're spending on pilots. Surely, within 3, maybe 4 crashes, we passed the point where this was still financially efficient. You could have just hired even a mediocre pilot who wouldn't have consistently crashed your planes. I feel like he would have been coming out ahead, right?
He made his money in the Klondike Gold Rush.
Oh.
He found a large golden rock. He also had...
Oh, yeah, his gold nugget.
He also, through combination of shrewd business decisions, luck, and adventure. So adventure is always a good way to get wealthy.
I don't know if history totally backs that up.
Think about that. I bet there are a bunch of wealthy people that it was an adventure for them along the way. And they made some friends.
Could you still sing the DuckTales song?
DuckTales, ooh. Every day that I became DuckTales, ooh. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Right?
What if I said life is like a hurricane?
Oh.
Kieran Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery. Or rewrite history. DuckTales. Woo! You're welcome, Alec. But this you didn't is think going, that was
going
to happen.
This is going way better than I anticipated. This is amazing. 877-881-1053. Your favorite Disney character of all time from the 817. I like this one because of the chaos. Jack-Jack from The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was just a walking, breathing crash out. He was ready to destroy anything at any given time and just ruin everything, and I love it.
See, I feel like we need to create categories then, like old school Disney, and then you've got live Pixar. Action. Yeah.
Yeah. There. I mean,
I always like Baloo.
Yes.
Tailspin.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
In the Jungle Book.
I was going to say.
Look, I know him best from Tailspin. I know he's in the Jungle Book, mm-hmm. but like I watch Tailspin every day after school.
I like, there's a lot of people already texting in that they know the exact video I'm about to send to y'all. This is amazing.
Thank you, everybody who said they were also singing along with us. That makes me happy.
That's real togetherness. Someone said Stephen A. Smith. I get it. ESPN, owned by Disney.
Better person than Walt Disney.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, don't Google it. But if you want to, there's probably some history you need to learn.
Yeah, from Darth Vader. Darth Vader counts,
no,
right?
He's no, a Disney character. I'm not.
Y'all no. just said the other day he was number one on your list.
He's a 20th Century Fox yeah. character.
Star Wars is an expansion team, man.
Into.
Expansion team.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to put it in sports terminology, they're an expansion team for Disney. Like, they don't actually, they didn't create it. They didn't think of any of that. The new stuff, yes, but they can only put their name to that. They can't put their name to Darth Vader.
And see, somebody... Was Who Framed Roger Rabbit a Disney movie? Like, I honestly don't know. I think sometimes I just assume, okay.
Because there's a picture of me when I went to Disney World standing next to Jessica Rabbit. Oh. So I distinctly remember that.
Yeah, it is a Disney movie.
I was just curious if like animated equaled Disney and you're like, not always, but there you go.
Let's see. I don't think Bugs Bunny is a Disney character, 682. Sorry about that. From the 214, Tarzan or Wall-E? If we're going sentimental... Wow. Wall-E was one of those that, like, I probably watched it right when I was at that perfect age where I was finally realizing what emotions are. And I was like, oh, this is so sad, but it's so beautiful at the same time.
That's
and I was
nice.
Very conflicted.
Terminator. That's what happened to me.
Oh, wow.
Terminator 2. It was Terminator 2.
I mean, that's fair.
He sticks his thumb up and goes and melts in the lava, dude. It was sad.
That was not going to lie. Fine. That did get me. From the 903, you guys will like this. London Tipton from The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Brenda Song.
All right.
There
Her character was very unique and fun.
Very unique.
Here's the issue that I have
so
with
rich.
This. I'm sure the episode exists. Or at least I hope it exists. But I never saw the episode when they're like, you know what? We're leaving the hotel. We're going to go just do our life on the boat now.
It's the first episode.
Is it?
Of the on deck.
Okay.
So basically,
see, I never
they
saw
up,
that one.
Because the mom goes, she's
like
she's
a singer,
singer
on
the thing. And then London just decides, well, my friends are there, so I'm going too. And they meet a new girl.
And plus, she's independently wealthy,
and
right?
And Mosby thought he was getting away, much like his real life with the law. And
oh, no, I don't know that one.
He thought he was getting away from the kids and then found out, no, they followed him there. And so now all their capers and things that they're going to pull off are going to happen on the boat.
Okay.
And to answer my own question of the day, for the longest time, it was Goofy. But I do think ever since the movie came out, I'm a Stitch guy again. I grew up playing. If this was your time frame back when Disney's website was just full of games for the kids to play, I missed that era. Back when they had the Stitch Reuben Sandwich Maker game, I spent way too much
I'm
time.
Sorry, what?
Yes, because there was the character named Reuben that made sandwiches. And there was a game where it was like the ingredients were falling from the sky and you had to use the arrow keys to catch the ingredients but avoid the bad stuff. Yeah, the Reuben Sandwich Maker game. Like, that was a core memory for me. Me and my sister rotted our brains playing that game way too much because it was so pointless. We should have been, you know, reading or doing something productive. No, we were building sandwiches as a little furry orange guy.
I'm not sure I can read all the texts that are coming in, but... A lot of people are taking part in this segment, and everybody has a unique character that they connect with. From the 214, the Gummy Bears opening song is my favorite. Kevin, you remember that one? Mm. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. They are the gummy bears.
Okay, no. But there's a very specific reason for that. If you have kids of a certain age or have in the last several years, there's the gummy bear song, and it's like, look for the gummy bear album in stores, November, whatever.
Yeah. I'm
it's,
a gummy
you know
bear.
What I'm talking about? Yes.
Yep.
I've heard that song 60 million times. Jess hates that song.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or Men'sTeaClinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
More than any song that's ever existed.
Yeah. Back when I had a track phone, I spent like 5 minutes to get that as a ringtone. Yeah, true story.
Dude.
True story.
Dude.
So serious.
Remember how we used to pay for ringtones?
Yes.
And now we all have our phones turned off.
I remember going to
Zedge. We
don't
even have a ringer on our phones anymore. Yeah.
I've been going through old cards and stuff, and I showed Brandon a couple things where for like 1 or 2 years, the big insert in the mid-90s were phone cards.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you got this Joe Montana three-minute phone, $3 phone card. And you used to have to like dial 8,000 numbers to make a long-distance phone call for 35 seconds.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, let's hear from Jesse Cole, the Savannah Bananas founder and commissioner. He's talking about one of his most polarizing rules that they enforce in the game and the science behind it.
No bunting, because we say because bunting sucks, all right? People will debate that over and over again, but it creates attention. It gets people talking. When you can create something that gets people talking, that's a win. That's marketing in itself. Remember, we're spending $0 on traditional marketing. We invest everything on the experience. So when you can create rules that create attention, then that spreads and that becomes contagious and people talk about it and they get fired up about it. And so when we do the rules before the game, when we say no bunting, if you bunt, you're thrown out of the game because bunting sucks, the crowd erupts and they cheer. All right? They're cheering over a rule. Like, that's crazy. You don't have in a regular baseball game, they're like, all right, the infield fly rule. Like, yeah, love this rule. It doesn't happen. But in our rules, people get excited. When we say, did you bring your glove? People get fired up because they're like, I'm going to catch a ball and make an impact in this game. And that's how we think of it all.
And I think it's unique because he mentioned they don't spend any money on marketing. They literally
don't.
That is
impressive.
They don't spend no TV ads, no print ads, nothing. They do not market the team at all, or the games. It's all by word of mouth and social media because of the wild, wacky things they do. So when you see them selling out 80,000 seat stadiums and college football stadiums, this is why. It's all word of mouth. And if you hate this thing that they're doing because it's so weird and wonky, the only reason it's so popular is because of us. It's because of people talking about it. It's amazing. Go listen to this guy speak about this league. He is a madman and I love it.
By the way, somebody said Fievel from An American Tale. I think that's a Universal movie, not Disney.
Wow,
but
what a hater.
Jess told me that her parents' first dance at their wedding was to Somewhere Out There. And I had to, the same thing Corey's doing right now is the same thing I had to do because I was thinking it was the mice that were singing it to each other. And instead it was like the Peebo Bryson other person, regular people version, but I really thought it was the mice singing it to each other, and I think that would have been neat. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Is 2025 a Super Bowl or bust season for this NFL team? And no, obviously it's not the Cowboys. Next on The Fan.
Goff's going to work out of the gun. Gibbs to his left. Jared's got it back. Looking, throwing, end zone caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown hauled it in at the one and just turned it up. Found pay dirt and the Lions have the lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. What say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Dip!
Dip it and rip it.
So
you know what that's from?
I don't think I do.
You ever seen the movie 10 Things I Hate About You?
I have.
There's a guy who plays a rich character, and he is hitting golf balls onto the football field, and he goes, rip it and rip it. And everybody hates him because he's Bogey Lowenstein or whatever.
Yeah. He helps set that plot.
I think that's Charles with the Brie.
Back to you, Kevin.
All right.
So I just wanted you to know.
I appreciate it.
For future reference.
I appreciate it. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, because the deal he signed was actually lower than I thought it was going to be. 1 year, $13.65 million, but it has escalator clauses that could take it up to $19.5 million. But what I know a lot of people are more fascinated by is that supposedly the Steelers wanted Matthew Stafford and then Justin Fields. And then when neither one of those worked out, then they went with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, that seems like what we heard all along anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know that I knew that was the order, but it did feel like Justin Fields was the one they liked the most.
Correct.
They kind of knew him the most. Aaron Rodgers is the fallback.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be that big. They got to have a quarterback. Maybe it's a quarterback that puts him in position to get something else next year.
Now let's go from that to Amon-Ra St. Brown said, and I'm sure a lot of teams feel this way, but it feels especially true for them, that the team's mindset is Super Bowl or nothing. He said, at this point, we want to win a Super Bowl. That's it. Obviously, we got to make the playoffs to win the Super Bowl, but that's understood by everyone. So we want to win the Super Bowl, plain and simple. How many teams do you really think are in the category of Super Bowl or bust this season? Like, I get everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, and like that makes sense to me, but like the Bills?
And it's not even bust for them because they've fallen out of this category multiple times already.
They
kind of are used to it. I do think the Lions might be in that area.
I do too.
Because most of them don't know how to handle the success that they have right now.
Right.
Dan Campbell, I think, does, but I bet ownership doesn't really know. They're like, oh, man, we haven't had this good of a team in a long time, and if we don't get there, we need to break it up. And that's always not necessarily the right decision. So I think there might be about four teams, but it doesn't seem like that many. It doesn't seem like every team. You're right. Every team comes in the year, and they want to start building their way to a championship.
Yeah.
Some of them might get lucky and might be on a roll. But a lot of them are realizing, you know, partway through the season, this is not our year.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure there's other people who want other teams to throw in there, but just off the top of my head, I was thinking Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens.
I take the Eagles out.
Bills.
Eagles just won.
True.
There's really no pressure on them.
Okay.
Like they just won the Super Bowl.
But don't you think their expectation is if we don't win the Super Bowl, like,
it was bad. It wasn't, We didn't defend our title. Yeah, that's for sure. Chiefs definitely go into that mix too. Ravens, who simply cannot get over the hump. Yeah, there's a few.
I would really love to see a Ravens and Bills AFC championship game. Just to be like, all right, one of us is going to break through. Now, you'll still be a win away from actually winning the Super Bowl, but one of us is going to break through. One of us is going to say, let's regroup and look at the whole thing again next year.
You want to see them in the Super Bowl?
In the AFC Championship.
Would you love to see them in the Super Bowl, though?
The
final game.
Yeah, because that means the Eagles didn't make it. I already know we're not going to make it.
I know the conferences and everything. Man, and obviously the Panthers. This is Bryce Young's year to prove it or lose it.
Okay, but like, couldn't he prove it by winning 10 games and they lose in the wild card round? You're like, wow, what is another step forward? If they win the Super Bowl this year, holy crap. Those Bryce Young rookie cards I stuck with are going to explode.
You kept them around.
This is the year.
Yeah, they're right now. They're not looking too good. All right. Let's go to Chris Conley. You might not actually care about him as a football player, and that's totally fine. But he retired from the NFL to attend film school. And I just thought that was really neat.
Where at? USC?
I think he's going to be going to Georgia.
What is the best film school in the country?
I feel like for the longest time it was USC, just because, like, You could have Coppola and Spielberg and George Lucas hanging out to judge your crappy student film. And they're like, oh, you got some moxie,
this was
kid.
Wonderful for the first act.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So probably that. Maybe it's changed over the years.
NYU or something like that.
Yeah.
Juilliard.
Yeah. Look,
is that dance only? I don't know what Juilliard is. Music? Dance?
I'm not sure. I just think of like NYU and Juilliard as like that's kind of where they did Fame or whatever. And
I'm not going to lie, Kevin. I don't think we can go back to film school. Like, this might be a little too late for us. All right.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we could write a hell of a movie. If somebody was like, hey, I'm going to fund this movie for you, I think we could put out a blockbuster hit. And it wouldn't be something that's just, you know, formulaic, you know, it'd be something awesome. I already got plans.
Oh,
you want to go? And there's going to be a murder scene with Take My Breath Away to it.
Yes. I've been pitching that a long time. from the 561, that's a good point. Panthers have zero shot of winning the Super Bowl because they haven't replaced the huge void created by trading away Jonathan Mingo. That is a great point.
Come on.
That is a great point.
Y'all are going to see about Jonathan Mingo.
What are we going to see? That he's on the
watch.
Team?
Just watch.
Okay. Let's go from that to a couple of releases I know have caught a lot of people's attention. Yair Alexander clearly gets more of the headlines, but Jermaine Pratt for the Bengals has also been released, one of their captains, so they're letting go of that linebacker. You know how the dance works, Corey.
Can we have this conversation real quick?
Are we going to get Jair Alexander?
I don't think we are going to get him. And the dude has missed about 800 games in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But
sounds like we'll get him.
When he's on the field, he is a very good cornerback. When he is the Jacob deGrom of cornerbacks.
Whoa.
Maybe not the best ever, but he's very good. It's just the numbers. I think he's played one 16-game season in the last five. Here's my suggestion. How much does he cost? And it's the Cowboys, so probably too much. And what's his health?
$8.5 million.
That's pretty good.
He says he's in the best shape of his career.
Of course. What is the health? I got to know.
I just made that up.
Do your due diligence on the health, but Siobhan Revelle in the mix, Deron Bland in the mix, whenever Diggs, you know, like, that would be a good room, but I don't think you're going to. But Kevin, we say this all the time. How much of a disservice would it be to not pick the phone up and check?
Yeah, no, I agree. And more often than not, I feel like we just assume it'll be too much. And he's like, no, you totally should have called me. $3 million.
Derrick Henry. Oh,
okay, yes. All right, so a couple more things for you. Nick Chubb looks like that's just about a done deal for him to the Texans. That's been rumbling for about 48 hours. And Lamar Jackson will once again forfeit $750,000 of OTA bonus if he showed up at the facility 80% of the time. He's like, no, I'm good. I'll pass on that. His contract this year is for $43.5 million, and there is thought that his new contract will reset the market. But, you know, that's a lot of money. But he's like, it's more convenient for me
to not be there.
Yeah. Like, think about how awesome you are at your job. If you'd be like, I'll sacrifice this $750,000 to either not want to do that thing or do it the way I want to do it.
See, that's the difference between a bonus and a fine.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to pay a fine, but if with that bonus, you're like, I got plenty of money. I'm good. But you don't want to pay that fine, dude.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, describe the Cowboys' nightmare 2025 season in one sentence or less. Next right here on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.